Welcome back in on the program, along with Congressman Russell Fry is with us for the big election tomorrow. And we visited with you right before the first round of debate last week. And I wanted to give you a chance to kind of get your message across one more time for people who have kind of waited to the last minute. I know we had over 40,000 people early vote, but tomorrow's the big day. How has it been, instead of just being in your own 7th district, how has it been going across the state and learning from different people what their needs are all across our state?
Kevin, thanks for having me. And honestly, the response across the state has been phenomenal. I mean, I think that's been the cool thing. I mean, despite not running with a lot of sleep and despite just, a 3-week sprint, the message is resonating. And I think at people's core, what I hear the most, and which is kind of, part of who I am and why I'm in this race, is that they want a fighter. They want somebody in the arena. They want somebody to tackle and go after, the socialist creep of the left. They want somebody to push back on that agenda. They want somebody to be a conservative. All the conservative scorecards show us, one of the most conservative in Congress, but they want results. They want results at their core. They want you to make sure that South Carolina is taken care of. They want to make sure that you're focused locally back home. They want to see you pass bills and not just talk about stuff. People are done with politicians who go up there to Washington, say all the right things, maybe even vote the right way, but are otherwise essentially a piece of the furniture. People are done with that. They want battle-tested people in the arena who can get stuff done, and that's really kind of who I am. And so it's been refreshing.
Russell, you bring an interesting dynamic because you just talked about being a guy that can go up and fight and also a guy that has been through the ropes a little bit on the House side. It's interesting because you've got the youth of being a relatively young guy at age 41, but you've already been in the United States House, so you kind of know how the game is played too. So you bring that youthful energy, but you also bring someone that knows how to fight the fight.
Yeah, it's not up to yell. You got to do that too. But how do you take an idea and implement it into law? How do you assemble a team and create a plan and execute? The tactical side of this is very important. And so, look, in a body that is old and stale and works in archaic ways and it frustrates the American people, why would we want more of the same? We shouldn't expect, more of the same. We want the Senate to be accountable to the people. Stop hiding behind procedural moves or this or that and the other. People want results. And Kevin, what frustrates me so much, and I know that it frustrates your listeners, there are 300 bills in the Senate right now that the House has passed. These are bipartisan. These are sometimes partisan. But they just won't move. And it could be something, a quick little fix over here or a big fix for the American economy. People feel like they're not getting ahead right now, and they feel like Washington is broken and it's not responsive to their needs, and they can look no further than the old, archaic ways of a very old Senate.
There's things that you talk about, an old, archaic Senate. The filibuster rule is obviously something that differentiates the House, which you understand, basically just majority rule. The Senate has some different rules. Is it dangerous, though, to go there from the standpoint of setting precedent? And because there's going to come a time when the other side's in power.
Well, for sure. But if Republicans control the Senate, and we've been blessed with this wonderful opportunity to govern, Republicans in the House, Senate, and White House. But the biggest block of that is the filibuster. And I agree with the president. You got to scrap it. Whether that's enforcing a talking filibuster, that would be a meaningful change, or redoing it entirely. It's important that if we hold the majority next Congress, that we've got to be prepared to do that. You have simple bills, like the Save America Act, for example, that's supported by Republicans, Democrats, and independents. But somehow 40-some-odd senators can block it because they just use one word, filibuster. They don't actually debate. They're not on the floor of the Senate educating each other on why they're opposed. They're not doing that. They're just using the word and going back to their offices or going back to their home or their cocktail hour. People are done with that kind of stuff. And so, look, I think it's important that the Senate be more responsive. And I think that it's, the filibuster, but a couple other ways is restructure, shake up the Senate a little bit. Put some youth and energy in there. We owe it to the people that we represent to deliver results, good conservative results. But we only get there if we kind of catch up with the times, if you will, and make sure that we're passing this stuff. This is easy governance stuff that really affects people's bottom lines. They're feeling the pinch right now at the gas pump. They're feeling the pinch when they go to purchase their first home. Why are we letting the Senate dither and delay and do nothing while the rest of America suffers?
We're talking with Russell Fry, who wants your vote tomorrow in the special election for United States Senate on the Republican side. Russell, let me ask you this, because I've been doing this for a long time, and I never thought we'd get to the point where we're at in this country where you had Democratic socialists who are winning these races. I mean, they're leading massive charges, and they're winning major cities and now Senate and House races. I mean, it's kind of remarkable. What's your take on where this thing is going and where it's going to end up?
Well, and this is not your or mine or grandfather's Democrat Party. It's very radical. It's very change. And it's not enough to just say that we're opposed. You got to confront it. You got to beat it back. But I think this is plays to the strength. I had a Gen Z voter talk to me, and we've got a ton of, you know, so young professionals from, say, you know, 50s on down to, you know, just voting for the first time. And this Gen Z voter said, what's our biggest challenge? What's my generation's biggest challenge? I said, your biggest challenge is to understand history enough to tell your peers how dangerous socialism is. This country has survived for 250 years because we have held to our faith. We have embraced capitalism and free enterprise. We've become the most prosperous and successful country and most generous because of that foundation. And so what you guys have to determine is what's next? Are we going to go down that road of socialism? Look, I talk with young people. If I was elected, I'd be the third youngest senator at 41, which is kind of in and of itself crazy to conceive that there is virtually no representation for people who are, you know, growing up or working or have families right now. But who can tap into that youth? I want to be part of that. This country, 250 years, is remarkable. But we have to be willing to engage with young voters in a powerful way that gives them information, pulls them in, gives them a seat at the table, and make sure that we're handing off this country with a good foundation so that we don't adopt a socialist model. I think it's critically important, but it's dangerous what you're seeing from the other side, and we have to confront it.
What about your opponents? I usually conduct my interviews talking about what can Russell Fry do, not so much about the negative side of whom you're going up against. But in such a short race, they've come after you pretty hard, especially a couple of them. In particular, Darlene Graham has really launched some interesting things about you. What do you feel needs to be said to clarify any of the misconceptions about Russell Fry?
Well, I think, they're certainly worried that we're surging, right? And so they're saying and doing all types of last-minute gimmicky things. I don't think it resonates. I actually think it's a distraction. Let them talk about what they want to. But quite frankly, nobody really knows what Darlene is about. And I think that's the nature of this quick race. She doesn't have a record to stand on. She's donated to pro-choice candidates but says she's pro-life. You know, she says that she's for data centers everywhere. And if you complain about it, you're a Democrat. There's a lot that we don't know. And it's not to take away from her brother and his legacy. And I certainly grieve with her and the family. But people do not want to have a senator selected for them. They want to elect a senator and have their choice on it. And here it seems like the D.C. Chattering class and consultant lobbies have all, you know, have decided to anoint their next successor. And you look no further than the political donations. I mean, 80% of her money is coming from the D.C. Beltway. I mean, we're fueled by people that live here, that work here, that have retired here or own a business. And she's certainly a wonderful lady, and I think she means well. But there's just a lot of questions that voters have about her candidacy or about where she stands because she hasn't really said much.
Couple more things. I'll let you get out of here. Number one, how frustrated are you? And you understand the gamesmanship inside the Beltway. It's a cesspool of gamesmanship at times. But how frustrated are you to see that the Senate gets dismissed without the Save America Act getting what it needs?
Incredibly. So all the hardliners, right, the people who said, we should stay in recess, we shouldn't go home, where were they? Like, this was a voice vote. There wasn't even a recorded vote to go home. This is the grandstanding that I'm talking about. Is like, there were people who said that, you know, we'll deal with it later, but there was also a few people that said we should deal with this now. Where was the recorded vote to stay in and do the nitty-gritty? I would have been willing to do that, and I would have called for a recorded vote. People need to be on record. Like, who is with the American people in passing this? Let's dig through it. And the great thing about debate, if they actually ever got around to it, is you learn a little bit, right? If you're listening to the debate, you learn a little bit, and that provides you an opportunity to maybe massage or work through a problem so that you can get this done. But they won't even debate it.
Last thing, the affordability issue is a serious one. I don't know if messaging out of the White House has been very good when it comes to affordability, and I firmly believe messaging out of the White House has been very poor when it comes to the war in Iran, which I support what President Trump is doing in Iran and neutering their Iranians' nuclear capabilities. But at the same time, it's been very challenging from my standpoint trying to defend when one day we're hearing the straits open, the next day the straits close, we've got this, the Iranians have been left with nothing, blah, blah, blah. It's a tough message to sell when every day it's one way or the other.
It is. Look, the kitchen sink issues are what drive this, and the capability of the next senator to help deliver on those is going to be very, very, very critical. It's setting up temporary relief for sure, but long-term success, right? Getting permitting under control so that you can generate more electricity. What that does is it lowers your power bills. We don't build enough generation. Having an expanded and removing some of these this red tape that allows us to harness our own oil and natural gas and nuclear, we don't do that. So when you go to the pump, even during a conflict like this, you see a rise and escalation in prices. We need to be largely self-sufficient and have so many resources available that these market disruptions that occur around the world really insulate us. But nobody's really talking about that. I serve on the Energy Committee. This is kind of what I do. But look, the Iranian conflict, I support the president. I think he's doing it the right way, which is, if you want to hate us, Iran, you've hated us for 40 years. We're not going to change your mind. Hate us without the capability of targeting your neighbors, targeting the United States, targeting commerce. Hate us in your sandbox and just hate us and leave it there. I certainly don't think that we need to adopt the policy that we're going to convert them to a democracy. I don't think that worked well in Iraq or Afghanistan. But you can hate us all you want to, but not with the capability to target our people and open commerce, so that we have oil on the marketplace. That's, I think probably where we need to go.
Yeah, this is our last chance to talk before tomorrow, before people go to the polls. Obviously, we hope that you find yourself into a runoff and see where that goes. But if this is it, what's the last message you want to make sure you leave with the point listeners for tomorrow?
Look, the struggle that people feel today, whether they're on a fixed income or they're a working family, I know what that feels like because I've lived it. I grew up in less than stellar conditions and had parents that were incredibly hardworking, but we didn't have a lot. I know what that's like. My focus is on the economic strength and strengthening our families, putting it back on our families, creating a better tax climate that allows you to raise your kids, deregulating and cutting through the bureaucratic malaise that allows this country to succeed on energy generation and critical minerals, having a strong military. These are all components of what we need to do. And it's not just talking about it. Elect somebody who has a record of putting together coalitions and passing an agenda. I've done that in the Congress. I've done that in the State House. And it's important as we look at America's next 250 years that we elect a fighter and somebody who can get something done. That's what you get with me in the United States Senate, and I'd be honored to have your vote in tomorrow's election on August 11th.
RussellFrySC.com, that's the website. If you want to look into Russell a little bit more, that's a good place to start. I wish you the best of luck tomorrow, and I appreciate your time so very, very much, Russell.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
Yes, sir. Take care now.